Good evening and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm Carol Van Dam in Washington, and here are some of the stories we're covering for you today, Friday, September 20th, 2019. A co-founder of The Century says the largest multinational oil consortium in South Sudan is actively taking part in the destruction of the country.
The methods they use to siphon off millions remain unchanged, and they have so far faced minimal, if any, disruption. In fact, many continue to live in wealth and luxury, even as millions of South Sudanese continue to suffer from the horrors of violence and corruption.
A top South Sudanese official accuses The Century of targeting President Kiir's family in its report.
It is targeting the family of the president. And this is something planned, concocted, and especially planned to coincide with the current development.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. An investigation by The Century accuses several individuals and giant corporations from around the world, including the United States and the UK, of profiteering from South Sudan's civil war, right alongside high-ranking South Sudanese officials. Actor George Clooney, co-founder of The Century, says the Washington-based Watchdog Group showed 2 years ago how South Sudan President Salva Kiir and his then-deputy, Riek Machar, profited from the civil war. But since then, The Century has uncovered evidence of a larger web of corruption.
We showed how they, along with other generals, looted its resources and started a civil war that's cost hundreds of thousands of lives and millions of people displaced. However, these governments and these government officials did not act alone. They received money, oil, transportation, and weapons from a vast array of people and corporations all over the world who have profited from this crisis.
Clooney says the largest multinational oil consortium in the country, Dar Petroleum, provided direct support to deadly militias and paid for government officials to live lavishly while the South Sudanese people suffered the consequences of the war. At a news conference in London yesterday, Clooney said his Washington-based group reviewed thousands of pages of legal documents, audio reports, correspondence, and conducted hundreds of interviews in several countries to learn more about the web of corruption which was linked to atrocities committed during the five-year war. But Clooney says there are actions that can be taken to prevent war profiteers from causing more damage. He says most of South Sudan's warlords and leaders continue to loot South Sudan with impunity, however.
The methods they use to siphon off millions remain unchanged, and they have so far faced minimal, if any, disruption. In fact, many continue to live in wealth and luxury, even as millions of South Sudanese continue to suffer from the horrors of violence and corruption.
Clooney says banks and governments can play a key role in turning things around.
The good news is the banks and governments around the world can create consequences, and they can build the necessary leverage for systematic change in South Sudan. It benefits the people instead of the extraordinarily corrupt. In the past, banks have shut out terrorists. They've shut out drug lords. So now, they can also be used to fight human rights violations.
South Sudan is one of the most oil-dependent countries in the world. Dar Petroleum is one of its most important entities. It's comprised of China's state-owned China National Petroleum Corporation, Malaysia's state-owned Petronas, Chinese state-owned Sinopec, the private Egyptian-based firm SSTO, and South Sudan's state-owned Nile Petroleum. Dar Petroleum is linked to South Sudan's National Security Service. Its vice president is a major general in the service, and the company used funds set aside for community development projects to support the lifestyles of some top politicians, according to that report. The Century and other activists are pushing the government for more transparency. South Sudan's information minister says the Century report is unfair and targets the family of President Salva Kiir. Lasuba Memo reports for VOA from Juba.
The report states that members of President Kiir's immediate family are shareholders and directors in companies, along with nationals from 13 different countries, engaged in corporate enterprises that have looted billions of dollars from South Sudan and led to the deaths of hundreds of thousands of people. Information Minister Michael Makuei claims the Century report targets Kiir's sons and daughter at a time when the country is moving toward peace.
It is targeting the family of the president. And this is something planned, concocted, and especially planned to coincide with the current development. Because we are moving towards peace, a situation must be created so that it is seen to be a different thing altogether. These are people who are paid for that object.
According to the report, companies owned by Kiir's family include Lukiza Limited, Salty Corp, Connex Real Estate, FineJet African Holdings, Secoco Power South Sudan, and Fortune Minerals. Others include Cunnington Investment, Rocky Mining Industries, and Interstate Flights, which are based primarily in Kenya and China. Makwei says the report is misleading.
Senatorial report is not a report to consider. What they have written there, the drawings which they have shown, is nothing other than the family of President Salva Kiir, which is the target now. And all the companies which are written there and said to be part of that consortium, they all end up in the family of the president. They end up in the first lady and in his daughter. This is very clear. And his sons.
And Makwei questioned the timing of the report's release, with less than 3 months to the November deadline for forming a unity government.
Senatorial report is only a body of people, consortium of people who have decided to eat in the name of the people of South Sudan. These are people who have decided to live in the name of the people of South Sudan, on the blood of the people of South Sudan, because they don't want peace for South Sudan.
The Century Report recommends that the U.S., the European Union, Australia, and Canada investigate and, if appropriate, sanction the individuals and entities named in the report. It also advises banks and governments to act to prevent the purchase of luxury real estate by South Sudanese elites and their international enablers. According to 2011 South Sudan Emolument Act, President Kiir earns only 45,000 South Sudanese pounds a month, or about $150, according to the current black market exchange rate. For VOA News, I am Nasuba Memo in Juba.
As part of events marking tomorrow's International Peace Day, a local civil society group in South Sudan has organized intra-communal dialogue to educate people about the revitalized peace agreement. At an event yesterday, South Sudan's information minister urged young people to promote peace rather than falling prey to aggressive rhetoric spouted by some politicians. Ding Magat has more for VOA from Juba.
The group Salam Junub, which is Arabic for Peace South Sudan, is promoting the concept of Take Tea Together, or TTT, in its approach towards peace building among different communities. The group recently invited members from different tribes in the Gudele community to take tea together under a guava tree in the Gurey area. Salam Junub co-founder Bush Busey says it's common for all South Sudanese to drink tea together at their workplace or in the market. He says his group encourages people to take tea under what he calls a peace tree so that people talk about the role they can play in nation building.
It's a very simple idea that has benefited more than 1,000 young people, because when they come under the tree, we bring some topics related to peace, and one of them is the revitalized peace agreement, which was discussed in our last TTT on Saturday. We invite prominent members of civil society, we invite government representatives, we invite other stakeholders who are involved in the peace agreement to give awareness, to sensitize the people about the agreement that has been signed.
The group has so far organized 14 Take Tea Together events where people from different backgrounds discuss national building while being entertained and informed.
This time, these issues were discussed in the open place. These issues were discussed under a tree, and the common people in the grassroots in Gurey area, including women, children, the elderly, and the youth, were able to listen directly from the people.
Priska Akol, a communication officer at Salam Junub, says the goal of TTT is to end tribalism.
Since the war broke out, people actually have disintegrated on tribal line. They don't want to meet each other. But, you know, when we take tea together, we don't take tea with a particular community. It is all everyone from Juba, from all the diverse cultural backgrounds across the country, come together, they take tea, and they discuss issues affecting their communities.
Information Minister Michael Makwei says as more citizens become educated about last year's peace deal, they begin to identify as South Sudanese rather than members of their various tribes.
People are beginning to shed away this people are beginning to shed away this spirit of tribalism and adopting nationalism and South Sudanism. This is what we are adopting now.
Third-year University of Juba student William Mangar Bear says educating youth about the peace deal is key to making sure it is implemented.
The process of dissemination is by going to the grassroots, actually, because our people at the grassroots, others are not educated, so and they cannot be able to understand what the peace is all about. But in case I reach the grassroots level, I should be able to explain them what is meant by the peace.
The theme for this International Peace Day in South Sudan is understand, own, and support the revitalized peace agreement. For VOA News, I am Ding Magot in Juba.
Flash floods caused by torrential rains over the past 5 days or so have displaced thousands of people in rebel-controlled Ayad County in Fangak State, according to locals. Residents there say they have lost everything and are pleading for humanitarian assistance. Onan Walter Solomon reports for VOA from Juba.
Ian Neil Madire, the Ayot County SPLMIO appointed commissioner, says the floods have submerged shelters, water sources, and crops in six payams of Ayot County. Speaking by phone from Goroi, one of the flooded payams and headquarters of the rebel group in Ayot County, Madire says more than 4,000 households are affected.
We do have here 4,413 households affected by the floods. There are no alternatives for me to help them. Just I really report it to all the humanitarian aid and request them to come to assist the situation happening in Goroi.
Theodore Poch, who represents a non-governmental organization called Christian Mission for Development in Ayot County, says a preliminary assessment carried out 2 days ago indicates more households were affected than previously reported in Yen, George, Kere, Werioth, Pajek, Buot, and Kotiang Payams.
It may be almost 6,000 households. Six payams is beyond 15,000 people, a very high number.
A typical South Sudanese household is six people or more, according to UN agencies and the government. 30-year-old Goroi resident Elizabeth Nyan-Nielreth says she lost cooking utensils, food, and mattresses in the flooding. Speaking in her Nuera language, she says she and her five children are sleeping in the open air.
We need mosquito nets, we need saucepans, the small food left is in water. We don't have food, we need food. We didn't plant crops since June.
42-year-old John Turchual heads a household of 13 and is head chief of Goroi village. Speaking in Nuer, Tut says he lost over 70 goats in the floods.
Everything is a mess in our community. Two children are missing. Other flood victims are now coming from other farms. People have no place to go. We are now preparing to die because of this water. Our goats are now dying. We are requesting the NGOs to come to our rescue with mosquito nets and blankets.
Dor says his organization's structure was also flooded.
The ground is full of water 4 days ago. Yesterday, the rain was falling for almost 3 hours. Up to now, the communities are in worse situation. Even now, we don't know what we will do.
Dor says 8 workers have suspended damage assessments until water levels recede. Pierre Vautier, FAO, Deputy Country Representative for South Sudan, says despite the difficulty in accessing the flooded areas, the FAO has been working with UNICEF to have an integrated rapid response team on the ground in Ayot County.
We managed to assist 4,510 households, so more or less 27,000 people, in the area of Ayot. Of course, we just don't distribute only to Ayot, but also in the hard-to-reach areas, which are currently flooded and need some assistance. In particular, for example, Goroi, Ahad, Wan Mashar, where, in fact, together with the food and nutrition rations provided by UNICEF.
Vautier says annual flooding in South Sudan is common, especially from the Kero River, which is the tributary of the River Nile. The United Nations Office for the Coordination of Humanitarian Affairs said last month that floods in several parts of the country, including Ayot, have damaged schools and health facilities, affecting mostly women and children. It also said roads have become impassable due to the floods, and the 5 days of flooding has increased the risk of diseases spreading, including acute diarrhea, respiratory infections, and malaria. For VOA News, I am Onen Walter Solomon in Juba.
You're tuned to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Coming up, African refugees in Canada face many challenges, but quite a few are still able to find jobs. Find out more when we return.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today:
what's the best gift you've ever given?
I bought phone to the friend. It was a smartphone. So a friend would always tell me that I'm using that phone for browsing, checking news, and doing another thing that can be used with a phone. And that's the best gift I've ever given out.
The society, I advise where necessary. So that's the gift I usually give to people. And I hope what I always tell them is good and helpful to them.
The best gift I've ever given maybe is shoes. I gave shoes to my mother when I was in my senior for vacation 2008. Then my mother was in the village, and I wanted to surprise her.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
South Sudan in Focus is now on WhatsApp. Send us a message on +1 202 630 8011. Tell us what's happening in your area or give us your feedback on the stories you hear on South Sudan in Focus. We look forward to hearing from you on WhatsApp. That number again, +1 202 630 8011.
You're listening to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Most of the refugees from Africa who were resettled in North America face numerous challenges. One Sudanese from the Nuba Mountains area says some of the challenges he faced in Canada did not prevent him from achieving his dream of finding a job and taking care of his family. But Faisal Kuku says he experienced a setback when his learner's permit expired, so he was forced by circumstance to drive alone in dangerous weather conditions in Canada.
The first thing was weather, because we come in winter time. It's cold and snowing, and first time someone driving in the snow. But it's really hard, but we succeed because we learn how to drive in the snow. That's a lie, because we're not the first people to travel in that life, and that's why we believe if we come here and we see people living the way they live in, we have to learn the way they live, and we live with them.
You are coming from Sudan, yeah, where the culture there is different from the Canadian way of living. What were some of the immediate challenges apart from weather?
A lot of stuff, like the English. We wasn't perfect for English, to talk in English or don't understand, but it was really challenging to know how to live with different culture. We meet a lot of different people. A lot of issue with the with people driving, because when we are in first class, G1, we get a G1, you're not allowed to drive alone. You have to get someone to teach you. And we didn't have any friend or brothers to teach you to drive. And
so
then
G1 is when you're a learner and you're not allowed to drive the car alone, so you have to sit with somebody next to you.
Nobody.
And how did you start driving?
We just driving, and we struggle with life. We're driving, and you get caught with the police. They give you a ticket, and then you have to pay the ticket, and your everything getting high. And that's why it's a lot of Sudanese, they get struggle problem with this, too, because if you cannot drive the car, you cannot work, you cannot go anywhere. and was really challenged how we to stand, to be strong. But we made it. We didn't get a lot of trouble, but I see a lot of friends, people come in, they all their life they struggle with this, because when you get a police record, it's not easy to clean up yourself, to stand, because they say you get a ticket if you pay the insurance for the car for every month, 100, you're going to pay 200 or 300 for 3 years. You don't have to get any ticket after 3 years, and then they can clean up and they stop it. And it was really hard, because 3 years is very hard to driving without ticket.
Within these 17 years that you've been here in Canada, what are some of your success stories?
I applied for the job, and I started the job in the big company in North American Toyota company. And I started there in 2002 in April. Still now, I've been here now. It's almost going to 18 years next April. And that's the thing I believe, because it's not a very easy to get one job, to start one place for 17 years. In Canada, when you work in over 20 years, in the end of the result, when you get a retirement, you get a good benefit for, because you get good life and you get good credit for your record with yourself.
If you think about Sudan or the Nuba Mountains, what is it that you're missing?
I miss my people, miss my family. When you are our country and you have kids, it's very hard to keep your culture. And that's a very challenge for everyone, not just only me.
Why is it difficult to keep your culture?
Because the life is different. If you are working, your wife is working, you guys going to, most of the time you're going to spend to work and spend to do the stuff. And the kids, they lost their identity. They cannot speak your language. They cannot join your culture. They go in a different culture. And that's really very hard for everybody here. Because people, they say, oh, I'm outside, this is it. But we're losing something. But people, they don't pay attention for this one.
That is Faisal Kuku from the Nuba Mountains area, who resettled in Canada some time ago. He was speaking with my colleague John Tanza from Kitchener, Canada. It's time for our listener comments, and once again, we heard from many of you in South Sudan this week. Ayen Philip from Bor writes, some Zimbabweans look at former President Robert Mugabe as the cause of the economic downfall in their country, but I look at him as the savior of the coming African generations, because he has left the land in the hands of the rightful owners. Land is the primary asset, he says. We embrace his services in fighting for the rights of African people, and we wish his soul to rest in peace. Well, thanks for that, Ian. Dil Atanasio from Gudel in Juba writes, your voice is the voice we hear in South Sudan, John Tanza. Santo Cisco Okilo Mbolo writes, I am one of your favorite listeners of VOA. My message to our leaders is that let us have the spirit of unity for better South Sudan. Johnson Kutchison from Juba writes, I appreciate your program. It is so educational to the young people, and I request your management to give us more sports. Sabiri writes us from Yumbi District in Uganda, one of the largest refugee hosting districts in Africa. He says, we are all praying for peace to return to South Sudan so that our brothers can go back and start a new life after the war. Kenyi Wani David writes, South Sudanese will definitely not take that ideologies of South Africa, where they don't want foreigners. What happened in Bor must stop immediately, since we are God-fearing people. Lo Wius in Ye Town writes, I am sorry to note that most of the UNMISS forces in Ye do not speak English or Arabic. How can such people be engaged in an international mission? And how can they help the needy citizens? Go to Unmiss Gate in Yei and prove me wrong, he says. Angak Ayun Lueth from Arua Town in Uganda writes, I am so happy for all the latest news about South Sudan that you are feeding us. My fellow South Sudanese should know that peace is not the absence of war, but rather the presence of justice and truth. Thanks for that, Angak. And Emmanuel Akak from Juba writes, I like your programs because we get accurate information on time. I urge my fellow South Sudanese to embrace peace and love among ourselves and forget the past. And Majai Majok in Bor writes us, humanitarian aid should not be made as a public call to the NGOs. It is the responsibility of our government to provide us with such needs. He writes, let us stop calling on the NGOs, which are national government organizations for help. It is the response or non-government organizations for help. It is the responsibility of the government and not the NGOs. Thanks for that, Magai. And we heard from Stephen from Buridi, who says, I don't understand the role of our police in South Sudan and nighttime robberies, which he says are high in Juba. And he asks the questions, where is the Ministry of the Interior? Apoloka Simon DeRichi writes, I am a foreigner working in South Sudan. Thanks for always updating us, especially on what is trending concerning the revitalized peace agreement. He goes on, thank you very much, John Tanza, for the good work. You are an inspiration to young South Sudanese. I always tune in to VOA every evening, and I really like the addition of VOA. Well, thanks a lot, Apoloka, for those comments. And we very much appreciate all of your comments. Please keep them coming to the Voice of America.
South Sudan in Focus is now on WhatsApp. Send us a message on +1 202-630-8011. Tell us what's happening in your area or give us your feedback on the stories you hear on South Sudan in Focus. We look forward to hearing from you on WhatsApp. That number again, +1 202-630-8011.
And that is our show for this Friday. We leave you with the song Kalili by Hard Life Avenue Stars. We've been listening to Hard Life Avenue Stars with their song Kalele. I'm Carol Van Dam in Washington. Thanks for making us a part of your week, day in and day out. We'll see you back here on Monday for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America.